This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
For every 5 nasal scents we have, dogs have 2,500.
Unexpected Elements from the BBC World Service. Search for Unexpected Elements wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service. You're listening to Assignment from Spain. I'm Linda Presley.
And I'm Esperanza Escribano, the BBC's producer here. It's harvest time. And that's the sound of the mill belonging to the La Avellaneda cooperative, processing thousands of kilos of olives into high-quality extra virgin olive oil.
But these are challenging times for olive farmers. In 2021, Spain began experiencing a punishing drought. Production plummeted and the price of a litre of olive oil soared by a staggering 150% in some places. It's one reason why this precious commodity is known as liquid gold.
In Spanish, oro líquido.
The farmers bring the olives here every day, freshly collected. It needs to be processed as soon as it's collected. The sooner you process it, the better. The quality is going to turn much, much better than if it sits in the truck or in sacks for long.
Luis Martinez, the cooperative's production manager, knows that to produce the very best oil, timing is everything. And although the olive collection's in full swing, this is an industry that's troubled, especially, but not only, by climate change. In this week's assignment, liquid gold under pressure.
Our journey begins in the northeast, in one of the traditional olive-growing areas of Catalonia, in the village of La Selva del Camp. The harvest isn't looking good.
I arrived here in 2022, and since then, season by season, we have been seeing a drop in production. This year, the farmers say that they have never seen a year so bad.
Well, this year?
Yeah.
The lack of water has been extreme, but also you may remember the heavy rain in Valencia, a terrifying deluge that swept so many people to their deaths. That weather system also traveled farther north to Catalonia, although thankfully with less force.
We have both sides of the coin. On one hand, you have seasons where there is no rain at all, and then when it comes so heavily that is not even good for anything, because it just makes destruction and the landscape cannot absorb the water, so the water underground is not getting refilled properly because it just lies on the surface and just goes to the sea. So it's a disaster. The climate change is doing so much damage in this area.
And for the olives, the heavy rain that came so close to the harvest means that now, not only is there less oil present, its extraction is more difficult. In the open space in front of the cooperative's huge warehouses, there's a community breakfast to mark the olive season. There are trestle tables, makeshift barbecues, music and wine. Glass bottles of freshly extracted sage green olive oil glint in the winter sunshine. Maria and Salvador are queuing to buy theirs in bulk, aware this has been yet another year of reduced production. Esperanza translates.
Yeah, so it didn't go very well because it's 25% less from the previous year, and the previous year was already very bad, so yeah, things are not going very well.
It's because the price has gone up. Have you stopped using so much olive oil at home?
Even if it's a bit more expensive, we keep using the same amount of oil because we love it for our salads and to cook.
And are you worried about this kind of drop in production in Spain and the drought that you've been experiencing?
Sí, porque tenemos familia que también tienen.
Of course we are worried, also because we have family that work in the industry. And, for example, there have been years where we have gone to help them harvest. And, for example, this year we didn't go because the production is so little that they didn't need our help.
In the last 30 years, global demand for olive oil has doubled. And Spain produces around half of all the oil consumed in the world.
At the fiesta, we're told if we really want to understand water stress in the region, we should head south and farther inland to Rio de Cañas and take a look at the reservoir there.
We're now walking on the concrete dam that runs across the reservoir. And where is the water up to, Esperanza?
It's about 20%. The view from here is very dramatic, but people in the village have told us it dropped to 1%.
So I guess that this, what we're seeing here, this water, a lot of this will have come in those, that torrential rain that this part of Spain had in early November.
The only very little good part of it is that this reservoir could go up to the 20% at least. But that's the thing we are getting, the drought on the one hand and the crazy rain on the other.
And this is typical olive-growing country of Catalonia. If we look the other side of the reservoir, we can see olive trees terraced up the hillsides here.
And the only ugly part of it is the amount of concrete we can see in the reservoir, because the level of water is really low. We can see some of the farmers around the area giving up on the production of olive oil this year because they couldn't irrigate their trees.
So we're just driving actually through Jordi's olive grove now, frightening all the birds. Jordi Pascual farms 40 hectares of olives. A hectare is 10,000 square metres. Jordis are traditional rain-fed trees, lollipop-shaped with gnarled, twisted trunks and silvery green leaves. The drought was so profound last season, the harvest was catastrophic. Jordi's crop was tiny.
Un 10%. Pues hemos perdido la...
Only 10%. So we lost also the majority of our clients because we couldn't sell them the oil.
And this year?
Y este año hemos...
This year is 60%. We have saved part of the harvest because the rains... arrived.
Pero han habido zonas que la lluvia,
but in the very south of the region, the rains never arrived, and they are about to lose the 100% of their harvest, and that will be for the third year in a row.
For some olive farmers in Catalonia, the cumulative stress of keeping their businesses going has led them to quit.
Cuando pasa, tú te clavan.
When they tell you they're selling the land, it's like someone is stabbing a knife on you, because you think, well, I'm also there in the line and maybe next time it's me.
Olive growing is an important component of Catalonia's agricultural economy, but its production of liquid gold is dwarfed by the powerhouse of Andalusia, the region of hills, rivers and farmland that borders Spain's southern coastline. Andalusia produces more than 80% of all of Spain's olives. That's where we're headed next. From the city of Seville, we drive east in the winter sunshine towards the small town of Arajal.
This is the typical postcard image from Andalusian olive trees that I had from where I was a child, and where you can see olive trees either side of the road in these infinite rows that give you this peaceful idea that they have been here for centuries, for decades at least, and they made the time go slower, peacefully, like no drama in your life.
It's not a dramatic landscape, but we can't see anything else except olive trees.
Exactly, and it makes you think of all the generations before us that have been working in these lands, even, you know, during the Roman Empire. It's like this postcard, this image goes farther than that, and it will be here once we're gone.
You hope?
I hope. I really hope that the drought doesn't get to kill them, or the floods.
Hola.
Te seguimos.
Venga. The bigger picture of climate change looks bleak. Andalusia is the region most at risk from desertification in Spain. But during the harvest, there's a more immediate challenge for olive farmers.
So we're now following one of the farmers who is going to take us to his land where he suffered a robbery less than a month ago.
We pull up beside one of Joaquín Pérez's olive groves.
Era de día, sobre las 4 de la tarde, por ahí.
4 p.m. in the afternoon, we saw them hitting the olive trees with sticks. And as soon as they saw the cars, they escaped. They took between 400 and 500 kilos of olives. 5,000 kilos in total, I think I lost due to the robberies.
And what does that feel like for you as a farmer with these trees, growing them up, looking after them, tending them all year, and the droughts that you've experiencing here in Andalusia? What does it feel like when you lose your crop like this?
So when you spend all the year taking care of your olive trees, having someone to come and rob you makes you feel like you want to take a rifle and shot some of these guys.
Joaquín tells us that in monetary terms, he's lost around 12 or 13,000 euros. During the harvest across Spain, farmers like Joaquín continually patrol their land in groups. But the sky-high price of olive oil may well have encouraged dedicated thieves to take their chances. Just in Andalusia, in the 2023-24 season, over 500 tons of olives were robbed. This kind of rural crime's a real headache for law enforcement. José Antonio Humanes is Araal's local police chief.
Sí, adelante.
Oye, comuníquele a cuál es la situación del otro vehículo.
The commander tells us about the thieves' profiles.
Hay el típico toxicómano que se intenta.
One of them is drug addicts and also families that are in need of money, so they have a poverty situation. And there are organized crime organizations that steal olives from this area, and then they have a clandestine market where they sell them.
And he says there's an illicit parallel industry processing olives.
Last year we found a thief robbing olives. We chased him and we end up finding that he was taking the olives to a clandestine warehouse where we found more than 100,000 kilos of olives. So that was crime of robbery and also against the public health because they were using illegal products to process the olives.
Okay, here comes another tractor.
You're listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
The OB does the ultrasound and I'm looking at the monitor and there's no baby.
This is the story of a young woman who faked pregnancy again and again.
Story after story after story.
Targeting birth workers with a web of lies.
That this was a pregnancy via assault.
She was going through a stillbirth at 24 weeks.
From CBC and the BBC World Service, The Con, Caitlin's Baby, available now.
This is Linda Presley with Esperanza Escribano for Assignment.
From Araal, farther east towards the ancient city of Córdoba, Andalusia's open plains stretch out on either side of the highway. But we notice something different about the landscape. It's the olives. Often, instead of trees, they're slim, not too tall hedgerows, a bit like vines that produce grapes for wine. This is what's called superintensive olive farming, and one of its early adopters was Rafael Riobó Cabello de Alba.
We are making this kind of plantation because it's más rentable.
It's more profitable.
More money, yes.
Let's get out and have a look.
Rafael stands on the rough mud track between two very different fields of irrigated olive trees.
In this kind of plantation we have about 300 olives per hectare, and in this one we have 1,800.
So on one side of the track, there's an intensively grown olive grove. That's the one with 300 trees per hectare, small individual trees standing alone in their own small space. And on the other side is the super-intensive field with six times as many trees per hectare, all grown in hedgerows. The critical difference between them is how much labour you need at harvest time.
This one is to take with people. We need about 15 people to take the olives. And in this one, we take the olives with a machine.
Everyone we meet in Spain, however they're growing their olives, all of them tell us they can't find labour to harvest. Youngsters who might have been tempted by this seasonal work have headed for the cities, or they've found better jobs. The labour shortage is Rafael's number one reason for changing to mechanised, super-intensive olive production. And, he says, switching to Spanish, there are other huge advantages of farming this way.
In the third year after planting, you start to recuperate your investment because you can begin harvesting the olives. But with the regular, intensively grown trees, you have to wait 6 or 7 years after planting.
Lo puedes recolectar en muy poco tiempo.
And you can collect the olives really fast, he says. It means you can harvest at the optimum moment to produce the best extra virgin oil. You need just one very expensive machine operated by one person.
Spain has around 2.8 million hectares of olive groves. The majority are still grown traditionally. They're low-density trees that are rain-fed. But just under 10% of that land is farmed super-intensively, and a further 30% intensively. Most intensively grown crops depend on irrigation from precious water sources. But in spite of the drought Spain suffered, Rafael believes the solution to the water shortage lies in political will.
La cuenca española tiene zonas excedentarias.
The Spanish water basin has surplus and deficit areas, he says. How can we fight against desertification? By connecting those areas. This would solve the water shortage. We could even increase the amount of irrigation for agriculture. We have enough water in Spain. It just isn't well managed.
Hi, my name is Elena. I'm an agriculture engineer and work for Greenpeace. I'm the coordinator of sustainable food systems in Spain. So there is a huge problem about this huge amount of use of water and the intensification of the production.
The Greenpeace view is completely at odds with Rafael's analysis. Recently, this environmental NGO produced a report analysing the future availability of water in Spain. It concluded that the amount of water allocated to agriculture should be drastically cut.
80% of the water in Spain are using for irrigation, but the thing is the drought is increasing because of the climate change.
And what we know is that there's more irrigated olives than any other crop. Mm-hmm. Especially in Andalusia, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. In Andalusia, more or less 40% of all olive in Andalusia is irrigated.
And I saw that you'd said that the amount of irrigated land in Spain needs to be reduced from 4 million hectares to 3 million hectares. That's a huge cut.
We need to use agriculture that adapted to the future, I mean less water and more temperature.
I did see that report actually that it was described as little investigation and a lot of alarmism by one of the associations of irrigated farmers here about your report from Greenpeace.
What is there is the his opinion, but the thing is we need a change of politics and planning in the future.
Greenpeace has calculated that in the 15 years up to 2021, the amount of irrigation for agriculture in Spain increased by 16%. But that's only the water that's assigned legally. A vast amount of groundwater is extracted unlawfully via illicit wells.
The estimation is that what is 1 million right now in Spain.
1 million illegal wells?
Yes, illegal.
One of the reasons why more and more land is being turned over to olive farmers in Spain is because olives are more resistant to drought than other cash crops. The last two harvests may have been some of the worst of the previous 2 decades in Spain, but the trees haven't died. Even so, water remains the most emotional and practical issue for olive farmers.
So that's like a mini tractor that's got an implement on the end that just vibrates at such a high velocity. And then the olives are just falling off and they're rolling down this hill and onto the netting that's catching them.
We visit Juan Antonio Jiménez in his olive grove on the gentle slopes around Betmar y Garcíez. His team of 14, mostly migrants from Mali, follow the tractor with sticks to shake the branches and make the remaining olives fall. Although this year's crops looking good, Juan Antonio's yet another farmer whose yield in the last 2 years dropped by at least 90% due to drought.
But what this community of olive farmers didn't know was that foul play was also at work here.
So it's been years since we started to see that in the higher parts of our farms, the water wasn't arriving with the same pressure.
As president of the local association of farmers sharing irrigation, Juan Antonio commissioned expensive studies to find out why. When they drew a blank, he called in the Guardia Civil. It turned out someone everyone knew was stealing their water.
The Guardia Civil found this man was doing a direct connection and taking water illegally from our reservoir.
Did it affect the amount of harvest you've had for the last few years?
Sí, claro, por supuesto, sobre todo la zona esa.
Yes, of course, it has affected the harvest, especially in the areas that are uphill.
So how does it feel for you having found that one member of your community has done this to the rest of you?
Decepcionado completamente.
I'm completely disappointed.
Somos vecinos y los vecinos tenemos que ayudarnos, pero eso no tiene palabras.
We are neighbors and neighbors should help each other. So I don't have words for this.
Pero vamos, entiendo que el agua se está poniendo.
Water is becoming more and more a main issue, and I guess in some years water would be like gold.
Water will be like gold, says Juan Antonio, hugely valuable in an era of climate emergency.
But there is hope. Ongoing scientific research to address the challenges facing olive producers.
We found you.
We need to go a bit farther.
Yeah.
With the car.
Okay.
To the field.
At one of the farms where he's testing new strains or cultivars of olives, we meet Raúl de la Rosa, a research scientist at the Spanish government's Institute for Sustainable Agriculture in Córdoba. There are 14 hectares here that are super intensive, but they are not irrigated, they are rain-fed, and they are organic.
Here we have a trial where we are testing something like 80 different cultivars to see their adaptation to formation in hedge grow, in super high density, but also in dry farming without irrigation.
So what you're trying to do is you're trying to find the olives that grow best with the least water.
Yes, we are trying to produce a new cultivar well adapted to water scarce environment and also having a high but mainly a stable productivity.
So it's not necessarily the case that super intensive olive growing is going to use more water.
No. In fact, here you have in dry farming trees that they are behaving very well. So obviously, if they were with irrigation, they will have a higher productivity, will be bigger. But with dry farming, they are behaving still very, very, very nicely.
And this 14 hectares that we can see here, like they're just kind of marching in very, very straight rows as far as the eye can see. How are they doing here, these ones?
They are doing very well right now. I think they are 3 years old now.
Yes, 3 years old.
Maria Miró is about to harvest this crop for the first time when we visit. She sells her extra virgin oil under the 1948 oleum label. A vet and teacher who inherited the family olive business, Maria's decision to begin farming super intensively was driven by two things: the lack of people to work in the fields and just not having enough hours in her day.
How can I get my olive oil with not spending all my life here?
So when you hear traditional Andalusian olive farmers very worried, they're scared about the super intensive is coming, what do you say to them?
Well, I confess that I were one of these farmers maybe 15 years ago, because we are an organic farm, so we are in the general thinking, we are the opposite. If you are organic, you cannot be hedgerow.
Hedgerow, super intensive.
Yes. Yeah. but research, and I need to work with other researchers. And here we are trying to prove that it's possible and it's a reality. It's not necessary to be very aggressive or to choose between organic or sustainable. This is not the future, but the present, so we are here.
So, Raul, how many farmers are there like Maria here, you know, an entrepreneur who's willing to try new things for olives and to think about the climate so carefully?
Talking about all the farmers, we receive a lot of calls. 90% of the people are asking about cultivar for hedge grow planting. So most of the new plantings are hedge grow. We are working with traditional people working on organic farming that they are now moving to super intensive. And just because the same problem that Maria says, we don't have labor for harvesting in Andalusia right now.
But it looks very different, doesn't it? It changes the landscape, the traditional landscape of Andalusia. Do you feel sad about that?
It's a pity, but it's the progress. If you see other crops like cotton or like wheat, they are in some point of the history, they are being mechanized. So progress is that. So I mean, this is not being stoppable.
That's a different sound.
That's the bells.
That's the bells, yes. Traditional harvesting with mules.
Before we leave Andalusia, we make a trip up into the mountains north of Cordoba. 10 mules, their livery embroidered with red thread, are tethered together and make their way down the steep hillside to collect sacks of harvested olives, then climb back up carrying their precious cargo. The animals belong to Andrés García and his friend.
Everything here is rain-fed, so farmers try to fix the trees and take care of them as best as they can. And then my mate and me, we come with the mules, because it's a slopy land, so you can only harvest with mules, because tractors can't go in.
Andrés isn't worried about being replaced by machines. That'll never happen here.
But his livelihood isn't guaranteed. If vast swathes of the Spanish countryside are turned over to intensive and mechanized olive production, the farmers Andrés works for could find themselves and their olives priced out of the market. And everyone in this industry is looking at the sky. The weather and climate will determine so much. That's all from Assignment. I'm Esperanza Escribano.
And I'm Linda Presley. And this edition of Assignment was expertly mixed by Neva Misirian. The editor is Penny Murphy.
I'm Sarah Trelevin, and for over a year, I've been working on one of the most complex stories I've ever covered.
There was somebody out there who was faking pregnancies.
I started, like, warning everybody. Every doula that I know.
It was fake.
No pregnancy.
And the deeper I dig, the more questions I unearth.
How long has she been doing this?
What does she have to gain from this?
From CBC and the BBC World Service, The Con, Caitlin's Baby.
It's a long story. Settle in.
Available now.